Beautiful singing this morning. Thank you, Patrick, for picking such wonderful songs. You have to sing the Church Christ anthem every so often. Anytime you get a group of the Lord's church together, we got to sing Our God, He is Alive. I think that's one of the favorites of all of us, but it's a beautiful song and such powerful words. You know, we had a wonderful day yesterday at the father-daughter outing. Enjoyed the time there. Calvin comes up to me and goes, "Hey, you sore?" I said, "Are you kidding?" I rode a canoe and I jumped around playing volleyball, as big and out of shape as I am. Of course I'm sore. I mean, that's just a stupid question to ask. That should have been a given, brother. Folks, don't ever ask Don Chambers to go out on a boat, because I completely ruined him yesterday when I dumped him out in the lake. So, you know, I'm sorry, brother. I can only repent publicly for a public sin. But, we got the boat back. We dumped the water out. I said, "Now you want to go back out?" "No, I ain't going back out there." So, wonderful day, wonderful fellowship. Had a great time. It is great to be God's family, isn't it? Do want to encourage you, as Leslie did earlier, to be sure to invite someone to our Friends and Family Day. Let them see how wonderful God's family is as well, by inviting them to come and be with us. There are not only the cards that we use as far as our church cards that you can give to them that have our times and other things, but there's also been some cards made by Bridget and Julie as well back there that I think there's some on the table. I hope there are, because I'm saying that. But that you can give to people as well, and as you invite them to come and to be a part of that. It's going to be a wonderful day, as all Lord's days are for God's people. But let's show them how wonderful it is as well by inviting them to be with us. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll read the first 6 verses. The Bible tells us, "Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's 2 wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one, because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself," or encouraged himself, "in the Lord his God." That's a tough day, isn't it? You come back from battle and you see the city as you approach, and you see the smoke rising up, and how your heart must have felt as these men saw that. And they get there and the city's destroyed and their families are nowhere to be seen. Can you imagine that kind of heartache? I think we get an idea of it when we see that the Bible says that they wept till they had no more strength to weep. They literally wore themselves out in exhaustion from weeping. Tough day. Hard day. And you know, you can even look and see that even for David, while he had the same heartache as his men had in regard to his family being gone, he also had the additional difficulty of knowing that those men, because of their heartache, were seeking to stone him. I mean, after all, it's David that took them off away from home, right? And allowed their families to be taken. And so they're wanting to stone him. He doesn't have his family. His life is in danger. And what does David do? Does he go and, "Oh, woe is me"? No. The Bible says he went and he strengthened himself in the Lord. He went and encouraged himself with God. You know, in the absence of encouragement from others. I mean, none of those men were seeking to encourage David, right? He could have said, "Why won't anybody encourage me?" But in the absence of encouragement from others, he strengthened himself. He strengthened himself by going to the Lord. And as a Christian, we need to understand that we have instant encouragement that is always available to us in our lives. And it flows from dependence and dedication and conviction in God, the same kind of conviction and dependence that David had on God, the same kind of conviction and dependence that we saw in him as a young man when he said, "I will slay the giant, that uncircumcised Philistine, because God is on my side," right? See, he found encouragement. Most people would have stood before a 9-foot Goliath and said, "Oh my." Just like all the Israelites did, right? David said, my strength comes from somewhere else. You know, what is encouragement? It is to urge forward. It is to push on. It is to strengthen yourself or to strengthen others. Winston Churchill once said, he stood in the middle of the Blitz of London and he stood up in Parliament. He said, "Never, never, never give up." Let me tell you what Winston Churchill was doing. He wasn't only just encouraging the British people not to give in and to give up in difficult times. Winston Churchill was standing up and encouraging himself. Reminding himself never to give up. We need that kind of reminder sometime, don't we? We need to look in the mirror and remind ourselves never to quit. Never to stop for God. You know, if you do not learn to encourage yourself, I can guarantee you're going to fail in life. And I can almost guarantee you'll fail as a Christian. You will not always be able to rely on grandma and grandpa. You will not always be able to rely on mom and dad. You will not always be able to rely on your spouse, on your friends, even your church family. And the list goes on because, let me tell you what, they're not always present. They're not always there. And you will, at times in your life, be alone. There are three fundamental aspects about encouragement that I believe are important for us to remember today. Number one, all people need encouragement. I don't care how strong you are. We all need it. All people need it. Teens need it. Teenagers need encouragement because of the incredible pressures, the peer pressures, to do those things that God would not want them to do. To drink, the immorality, to engage in things that are ungodly. They have incredible pressures on them every day to conform to this world. They need encouragement as they seek to transform themselves into Jesus Christ. Young adults, both married and unmarried, need encouragement, do they not? As they go into and they take on the great responsibilities of adulthood that are difficult to take hold of and get your hands around sometimes. They need encouragement. The elderly need encouragement as they deal with the change that comes with growing older and not being able to do all the things that they once did. I remember my parents, as strong as my mama is and my daddy is, I can remember how hard it was for them when all four of us left the house and it was so quiet. Because see, we were all in band. Yeah. And we also liked 80s music. We liked it loud. So that house was never quiet. You could hear it two blocks down. French horns, trombones, trumpets, pianos and stereos all going at the same time in the Adams house. But it got so quiet. They needed encouragement. You know, the sick need encouragement. The bereaved need encouragement. There is a never-ending list of people that need encouragement, demographic groups that need it. Simply put, all people need it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verses 7 through 8, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all." All those who love His appearing. You know what Paul is doing? Yes, he's writing to young Timothy, but Paul's in prison. Paul is just he's right near being put to death. He says, "I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering." He is at the point of death. Paul is sitting there in that prison cell. He's writing this letter to this young man, and he's encouraging himself, right? He's reminding himself of what the future holds for him. It's tough. Jesus Christ Himself did not want to die on the cross, right? The night before, He begged not have to go to the cross. Let me tell you what, Paul is facing his death, and it's not necessarily going to be a pleasant one, and he doesn't want to anyway, any more than Jesus Christ did go through that. But yet he reminds himself, I've done what the Lord has asked me to do. He's going to reward me. He's encouraging himself. Encouraging himself in the Lord to face the future. Now you can come here this morning, and you can come here tonight, and you can come here Wednesday night, and I can preach to you and maybe at you, some people think. And hopefully I will help and encourage you. But the majority of the work, you're going to have to do yourself. Why? Because I'm not there tomorrow. And I'm not there the next day, or tomorrow night, or in the middle of the night when you wake up with your greatest fears. You will have to handle those times yourself. You're here 5 hours a week for our worship services. Maybe six or seven if you count other activities we may have, like yesterday. And you spend 163 hours somewhere else. How will you get by? Where will you get your encouragement? Where did David get his encouragement? From himself and his faith in the Lord. He pushed himself forward. He lifted himself up. Told himself to get up. To do the work that needed to be done. There was a brother in Christ who had an automobile accident. And it was his fault. And he killed a 17-year-old girl. And he sat in the hallway in the chair with his brothers and sisters in Christ around him, trying to encourage him, saying, I wish I would have died instead. You know, while brothers and sisters were doing everything in their power to encourage him, and to try to lift him up from that tragedy, most of the times, especially late at night, he's all by himself. How does he survive? How does he make it? He must encourage himself in the Lord. He must look to the Lord and lift himself up in God and in faith. Second, we need to understand and we need to realize fundamentally that we need to not discourage ourselves. There's enough ways to get discouraged in this world, right, without doing it to myself. There are three ways that we discourage ourselves. Number one, is we do so by complaining. We tend to discourage ourselves or feel sorry for ourselves more than we encourage ourselves in the Lord these days. I'm much more quickly to talk about all that's wrong with my life than what's right about it, what's good about it, and what's blessed in it. We need to stop it. We need to stop complaining about everything. Sometimes all we want to do is complain, but it isn't right. And the Bible says don't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10 says that the Israelites complained and God punished them for it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, do all things without complaining. So many times we complain about things. In the church we find many things to sit and complain about to the detriment of the work of the Lord. Let me tell you what. You'll find plenty just by looking at Nathan, but if you look around at the other 300 plus people here this morning, you'll find plenty of them too to complain about. There's no shortage of it. It's just, is that what you're looking for? Is that what you're focused on? Because if you are, you will discourage yourself. So many preachers, so many elders, so many people that are very active in the Lord's work become discouraged because they see so much. They're aware of so much of what's going on that needs to be fixed, that complaining becomes too big a part of their life. I struggle with that. I have to at times reel myself in and remind myself of all that is still good. And it far outweighs the bad. Lest I discourage myself. You know, we go to work and we complain. We complain about what we wear, about what we drive, about what we eat, about how that guy in front of me is driving, right? That was me, so just get off me. We complain about so many things. We are complainers. One of the things in the elders' meetings at Bear Valley when I was there was that you could never complain about something in that meeting unless you had a solution to fix it. That cuts it down a lot, doesn't it? How many times this week did you just complain about something for the sake of complaining and had no intention or no desire or no drive to even do anything to fix it? Be honest with yourself. You know you did. What good was it? See, the only reason you did it just made you feel better. But it didn't make you feel better. It only discouraged you. We need to stop discouraging ourselves by stopping our complaining. Number two, we discourage ourselves also by being negative. We need to stop being negative. We sometimes approach everything in a negative way. You know, we look at Numbers chapter 13 and those 10 spies that came back, minus Joshua and Caleb, those 10 spies came back and they were nothing but negative. Oh, we can't do it. They're huge. We are but grasshoppers. I want you to understand, not grasshoppers in their sight. Did you hear what they said? We are but grasshoppers in our sight. That's how I'm looking at myself. I'm just a grasshopper compared to these people. We can't do it. That attitude, they certainly could not. They were negative and they were wrong. We need to get the negative concept out of our lives because the Bible still says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything God wants you to do, you can do. If He wants you to endure hardship, my friends, you can endure it. He does those things sometimes to allow us to grow in ways that He knows we need to grow in His infinite and perfect knowledge. Third, we discourage ourselves also by fussing and fighting. Oh, and if the church spent the time that it does complaining and fussing and fighting, we took that time and we threw it over into evangelism, folks, we'd probably convert the world. I was thinking this week just about the amount of time that I have to dedicate and even the elders have to dedicate to just dealing with fussing and fighting. And I think, what could we do if that time was freed for more productive endeavors? We need to stop the fussing and fighting. You know, your encouragement will also depend on the people that you hang around with, right? If you hang around with fussers and fighters and complainers, you're going to become a fusser, fighter, and complainer. Because the Bible is still true in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 that evil companionship corrupts good morals, right? My daddy used to say it like this in the pulpit, if you roll around with the pigs, you're going to get muddy. You don't stay clean in the pig pen. We need to understand that just hanging around people like that can be a detriment to our encouragement in our life. It is discouraging to fuss and to fight. So all need encouragement. Don't discourage yourself. And then third, you need your own encouragement. David was able to endure because David was able to encourage himself. There are so many things that we go through that don't even compare to the story that David's going through, right? All my family's gone. People want to kill me. That's the day he was having. And yet, how does he stand up and rise up from that? He encouraged himself in the Lord. He found something in himself, and it was his faith in the God of heaven. You know, when we look at these hostages that are held sometimes, or POWs that are held, and they're put into these prison camps, folks, they talk about it. I've read books by men that were in POW camps, and they talk about there's nothing except you. And any strength that you're going to receive, any encouragement you're going to receive, has to come from within you, because the entire goal of a POW camp or a hostage situation is to break you. They're not going to encourage you. You're going to be in a little bitty cell all by yourself. And it's going to have to be something within you that you reach into and find. A lot of these men, in fact, most of the men talked about it was faith that they found. Remembering what God had said in the Bible and latching on to that. You know, what do you have in you that enables you to encourage yourself in the difficult days. We must learn to encourage ourselves if we want to survive. Such an ability to encourage yourself begins with our mind. You know, take care of everything above your eyes and everything below will take care of itself, right? Isn't that what we sometimes say? There's a lot of truth to it. If I fix the way I think, Jesus said everything we do comes from the mind, comes from the heart. We fix there, those things take care of themselves. What is on the inside comes out. You must learn to encourage yourself. Let's think about examples from the Word of God. Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job says, remember where Job's at here. He's sitting in a garbage dump, covered in sores from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. They're pus-filled, worm-filled sores. This is a bad situation. He's lost his entire family and everything that he has. That's a pretty bad day, isn't it? Oh yeah, and his friends came. Kinda. Right? And said, Job, you've been a bad man. How would you like that? Something bad happened to you, and I came over and said, okay, what kind of sin did you commit? Come on. His wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? There's a wonderful woman for you guys. Job's having a tough day. In fact, he's having tough several days. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. What's he doing? He's encouraging himself. I don't know why God's doing this. In fact, Job basically says that over and over. I don't know why God is doing this, but I know one thing. I'm going to stick with him. I'm going to stay with him. And see, it wasn't even God doing it to him, was it? It was the devil. But he said, whatever was going on and why ever it's going on, I don't care. I just want God. And I'll take whatever decision he makes because it is right and it is good. He was encouraging himself. He had faith and determination. If God takes from you what he took from Job, are you still going to trust in him? Will you still say, well, probably one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is when God took everything he said, God gives and God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. If he took what he took from Job, would you say, God gives, God takes away, blessed be his name? Joseph, he survived because he encouraged himself. No family, no one cared about him. In fact, if you even look at his family, his brothers are the ones that sold him into slavery, right? Nothing. Falsely accused of a crime, thrown in jail. There for more than 2 years. And yet he grew to be a powerful man of faith in no circumstances. Why? Because he strengthened himself in the Lord. Caleb. I love Caleb. He's one of those two men, Joshua and Caleb, that came out of the after spying the land and said, yes, we can, when the other ten said, no, we can't. But in Joshua chapter 14, as they go into the land of Canaan, he says there was a mountain that no one wanted because there were walled cities there. Joshua, understand this, he's 85 years old now, but he's still like that guy that came out of the land 40 years earlier. You give me that mountain, I'll take it. Why? Because he strengthened himself in the one place that gave him the strength to face it. In the Lord. I'm as strong as I was at 40. I can do it. Can't you see someone going, oh, Caleb, Caleb, Caleb. But Caleb did it. Because he trusted in this ultimate source of strength. Paul and Silas in a jail cell in the middle of the night, chained to the floor. If you were chained to the floor tonight for your Christianity, would you be singing praises at midnight to God? That's what they were doing, encouraging themselves in worship to God. And God answered, didn't he? Jesus Christ, on his way to the cross, takes time to speak to some women that were weeping. It is so easy to become blinded by the cloud and the fog of our own problems that we can't see anybody else, isn't it? Become so obsessed in what's wrong with my life or what hasn't been just right for me that we can't see what others, how others are suffering. Jesus Christ is on his way to Golgotha, bearing his cross. And there's women weeping, and he takes time to try to comfort them, to speak to them. Folks, I've never been on the road to my death. But I hope I would be able to still see others hurting if I was there. Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had nobody. What if your best friends came over in your darkest hours and you're wanting to talk to them and they keep nodding off? You know, you're trying to pour your heart out and you keep looking over there. How would that make you feel? That's where our Lord was. He had no one. I take that back. He did. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, there may be a time when you feel like, even as Jesus Christ did as he hung on the cross, that God has forsaken you. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our Lord himself cried those words. And we may feel that same way. And at that time, we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because just moments after that, Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. He still trusted. He still sought that strength. You know, you go through surgery, and I'm sure you can talk to Abby and last week, and we're so thankful for that recovery. Any of you that have been through any kind of a serious surgery, you know what that's like. There is a point where they wheel you on the little table right to those doors, those famous doors, swinging doors. Now they don't swing so much. You've got to punch that button, right, and they automatically open. But they bring you to those two doors, and you get to give that last hug and that last kiss and those last words to talk to your loved one as they go to surgery. And then they go through that door. You know, for the person on that bed and the stresses that are involved in some those situations, they can see the ceiling tiles going by, but it's just them now, isn't it? Where do they find their strength? They got to find it in the Lord. Others can't help you at that point. There was a preacher at the Elijah Congregation in Missouri who said that he went to the hospital and his brother was there and his brother died. And he said he was so torn up by it that he couldn't even help his sister-in-law. He said, I've always felt bad because I wasn't there for her. But he said, I just had to go and encourage myself. He said, I couldn't encourage her till I was able to encourage me. Folks, if you can't encourage yourself, you're not going to have a lot of encouragement for others. But he said, I felt bad, but I needed to do that. There will be times when we will not be able to encourage others. And there will be times when others will not be able to encourage us, but we can still encourage ourselves and our Heavenly Father. There are several ways to encourage yourself. You need to remember that you are a two-self person. You have your victory self, right? You are, those are those days when everything seems to be going right, right? Everything seems to be going good. You're happy. You're upbeat. Everything from the moment you drop your feet onto the floor off the bed, to you know, everything just seems to be going right, and everything's just wonderful. That's your good days, right? Your happy days, your victory days. And then there is your depressed self, and we all have these days. Those days where it just seems like nothing goes right, right? I tripped in the sheets and fell on the floor getting out of bed. We have those days. We'd love to freeze that victory day and live it every day, right? But unfortunately, we're not allowed to do that. If you are depressed, you are discouraged, it is a defeated day instead of a victory day. You know, we need to learn to make provisions for ourselves when we are our victory self. When we're having those good days, we need to make provisions, understanding that there's going to be the bad days. There's going to be difficult days. There was a preacher one time who, when he was feeling good, when he struggled with really kind of getting down at times, but he said, when I'm having my good days and I feel like everything's going great, he said, I write notes to myself. You're a good preacher. Right? And he said, when I'm in those days when I really feel down and I'm kind of having a hard time seeing my blessings,
He said, I take out my notes and read and I'm reminded that I have good days too. He said, it picks me up. It makes me stronger. So we need to make provisions. Let me give you a few ways in which you can make provision and be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. Number one, learn and live by victory scriptures. You know, there was a preacher who was asked to come preach somewhere, and you know, it was quite a ways away from his home, and he was almost to the place where he was to preach, and he found out that his wife and his mother went into the hospital back at home. But he went ahead and preached that Sunday morning. You know what his text was? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How many of us want to preach that sermon when we find out that the two of the most important people in our lives are in the hospital and we're not there with them? See, it's a victory scripture. He preached it. There was an old car salesman that a preacher went to see one time. You know how salesmen are, Floyd. You know how they are, don't you? You know, they'll say about anything to get you to buy their product. But an old salesman once told a preacher, he said, I'm going to tell you, preacher, the verse that changed my life. He said, when I found this verse, it changed every day I live. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. You know, you can change your life through victory verses. Find 31 of them. Let me tell you what, if you struggle to find 31 victory verses in the Bible, you need to spend more time in your Bible. There's a whole bunch. You know, you could go 365 if you want to. But find 31 and read a different one each day until you have all 31 memorized. Read them every day for every month. You get up in the morning and read one of those verses and begin your day being reminded what God can do for you and how He can bring victory to your life. You can change your life that way. I know I had a lady come up to me after preaching this sermon some year or so later. She said, I wanted to tell you. She said, I've been meaning to tell you for some time. She said, I did what you said. I took my 31 verses, and she said, I've read them every day. And she said, I really was struggling with being depressed and being down a lot. She said, but it has really helped me. See, that has nothing to do with Nathan. I didn't even come up with that idea, by the way. That's nothing to do with me. That's God's Word at work. It's God at work. Someone encouraging themselves in the Lord made a difference in her life. Then also, we can make provision by developing a positive attitude. Philippians chapter 4, in verses 11 through 13, Paul once again is writing from prison. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Can you do that? Can you be content whatever happens to you in this life? Well, that's one to struggle with, isn't it? That's a difficult one. He says, but I have become content in whatever circumstances I am. In the present time, he's in prison. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We always know that last verse, don't we? But we forget the ones before. Because, man, if I don't have the money I want, or I don't have the things that Joe has, I'm miserable, right? I need to be content. You know, somebody, I've had people say, I'm not happy. Okay. Don't know what it amazes me. A person yells, God, I'm not happy. And they want me to change to make them happy. Their happiness is completely dependent on everybody else changing. And the only person that can make them happy is them changing. If you continue to live the same way, you're going to get the same result. If you want your life to change, something has to change in you. I can't change you. Neither can anybody else. And let me tell you what, if your happiness is dependent on what everybody else is doing, you're going to have a very unhappy life. Because I do care about whether you're happy or not, but about 99% of the rest of the people in this world don't. Right? It's like the old saying about complaining. 90% don't care and 10% are glad it's happening to you. So, you know, I mean, we need to understand that we got to find these things somewhere else than expecting everybody else to do it for me. I'm going to have to find a way to do it for myself with God. Because at the end of the day, It has to come from my heart. It is who I am. The peace, the joy, those all come from within me. In God's Word. Well, you know, sometimes when people say I'm not happy, I want to say, no, you're not. You're never going to be. Until you change. And everybody else needs to deal with themselves. Well, Psalm 37 and verse 25, David says, I have been young and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Folks, do you believe God will help you? Do you believe He will make a difference for you in your life? David said, I have seen it. God takes care of His own. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6 that God will feed us. He will clothe us just like He clothes the lilies of the field and He feeds the birds in the air, right? They don't toil. They don't reap. He just gives it to them. Jeff, how many mission requests do we get because we have starving Christians? I've read a lot of missionary requests over the past 20 years. And I have yet to find the one that's asking me to give food for Christians that are starving. Why? Because God takes care of His people. And it's shown. The question is, will I believe it? And be encouraged in the Lord because it is a reality. And last of all, if you want to prepare yourself, actually third, not last. If you want to prepare yourself, learn to pray. David, our Lord, as well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they went in prayer to find strength and encouragement in their hours of need. May that be our first place to go to. And then last of all, be happy. Laughter is a wonderful thing. I enjoy laughing. I enjoy kidding around and joking around. You know that if you know me very well. And I believe it makes all the difference in this life. Find joy. Happiness is pretty shallow. Go for the deeper thing. Go for the joy. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Encourage yourself. Do what you must be able to do it. Look at God's Word. Build your faith so that you truly do believe that God will take care of you even in the worst of your days that this world throws at you. Dedicate yourself to God and find the strength that He provides. Find the inner encouragement that He provides and make it real in your life. This morning, if you're not a child of God, this is one of the things that I think you can most understand and relate to what you're missing. Because outside of Jesus Christ, outside of God, this life offers you nothing. There's going to come a day when Jesus appears in the air and all this world and all of its works are going to be destroyed. And the only thing that will continue on are those that have given themselves to Him. Everything you gain, whatever you drive, however big a house you live in, whatever job or accolade you may achieve, they'll all be gone. But what you are in Jesus Christ will continue on. That's what matters. That's where that peace in this life comes, to know that when this world ends, either for me when death or in judgment, it's fine. Whatever tomorrow holds, God is still there, right? I told you this before and I'll tell you again, I will fail you and I will let you down, but God never will. That's why you look to Him first. Encourage yourself in Him. If you're not a Christian, you can't do that. Come to God. Come to the Father that says He'll take care of you, that He'll love you, just as a father loves his children. He says, if fathers on this earth do good things for their children, them being sinful, how much more will your holy Father in heaven do for you, right? I think we have great parents here. I know parents here love their children, right? But you don't even compare to what God will do for His and the love that He has for us. If you want to be one of those children, come to Jesus this morning. Come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be buried in baptism. There, having your sins washed away and rising, having been reborn by the water and the Spirit as a child of God into His family and to know the blessings of a father, of your Father in heaven. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you're like the prodigal and you've strayed away, come back. The Father waits. He wants to embrace you if only you will. Come to yourself. We can assist you in that journey. We want to do so this morning. If we can help you in any way spiritually, we'll pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.